Mr. England, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm well, Tom. Yourself?
Good, except the fact that we live in the state of Illinois. What happens tonight at midnight if they don't have a budget? Now, we know what's been promised, but what are the implications of dropping below this, what's been defined as junk status? But what I saw was more articulate on that is it's not investment quality bonds.
What will happen immediately, it won't be a question of if, but when, and who's going to be the first, Standard & Poor's, Moody, or Fitch, to downgrade the status for our bonds to junk bond status, which when that happens, and let's hope that it doesn't, I'm still thinking positive, but when that happens, we'd be the first state in the United States for that to happen.
Do people say, okay, I've got these bonds from this state that's failing, so I'm going to go sell them all? Is that how that works, David?
Typically not. I mean, anybody can make a decision what they want, but as long to keep in mind, Tom, whenever they bought these bonds, it's risk versus return, and the bonds that they bought up to this point were not junk bond status, but they are just above junk, so that means that there's a hefty return, a yield on those bonds. So an investor like myself and like you, we're going to keep those bonds as long as we can. The only thing that would go wrong is if they would default. Well, that's not happened, and I'm not even going to use the word yet on that. But I would think that the last thing that I would do as an investor would be to go in and try and redeem those bonds. But keep one thing in mind. If and when we get to junk bond status, that just means that when the state of Illinois has to borrow money, and it's not a question of if, but when they will, then that's when the higher interest rate will come into being, higher than what we're paying now.
Well, then that makes sense. I mean, when you see Chicago Public Schools, which has already achieved junk bond status, borrow $112 million at 6.41% interest, sources cite that as being 9 times higher than what it should. And what's interesting about that, they are borrowing $1.12 million. In this new proposed budget, there's some borrowing, but it's in the billions.
Yes, I mean, and when you start to put a pin to the actual interest rate on this, Tom, it can just be mind-boggling. But if we can put this into another perspective, who would be buying these bonds? Well, then who's bought them up to this point? The majority of the people are mutual funds. And then what the mutual funds do, they repackage these down into different types of mutual funds, like A through F, as far as rating goes. Now, when it comes to ratings, it's not an A through F. It's a different nomenclature on letters.
Right.
But what we do is I can buy mutual funds all day long, depending on the rating of the bonds. And I can buy junk bond mutual funds. And I know this gets into the details, which maybe at a later time I could come on and explain to people how to do that. And they could be buying these funds that have Illinois debt in it and making a really high interest rate themselves.
And what I've seen is there's a number of groups that do hold. Now, according to sources, there are 7 debt holders that hold $5.9 billion of the $23 billion in back debt, the debt that we owe, $23 billion, something that doesn't get talked about very often, David. Now, one of the groups, and I'm sorry, but it eludes me which name it was, holds the lion's share of the $5.9 billion at $1.44 billion. That's the big one. The others are around $900 million, that kind of thing, more likely the 6s and 5s. Yeah. And when I was reading on this, it said a lot of these big firms like this, they have built in that they are willing to carry X number of junk bonds. That's kind of just part of the formula, and it's planned in.
Tom, this is standard operating procedures, and I'm going to guess that it's probably going to be Vanguard that holds the most. But they offer a full variety of different types of exchange-traded funds, depending on the risk for investors to come in and buy those. And so that's why, you know, we see these billions tossed around, especially when we see our tax dollars going up exponentially. Billions of dollars in the mutual fund industry, that's a walk in the park.
What is the thing that I should have asked you so far this morning in relationship to Illinois and potential financial failure tonight at midnight? There are so many people saying, no. You know, we've got more time in July. The fact is we don't buy, and this is the record money keepers type thing, is tonight at midnight's the goal. Another thing, well, we got time because we've got money to spend until August. So what's the question I should ask you and didn't on this subject, David, that you want people to know?
You do your homework better than anybody, Tom. One thing to keep in mind is when the existing bonds that have a higher rating expire, and if there's not money to pay those off, and if the state continues to need money, which they will do, then that's when those existing bonds get re-rated. See, the bond rating is just like you and I and our listeners have a FICO score. a bond rating is like a FICO score for a municipality, a state, a corporation, or whatever. So whenever those existing bonds come due, and they all have a term to them, a start and an end time, when those stop, and if this fiscal nightmare, and that's fiscal, F-I-S-C-A-L, nightmare is not over, then that means that future bonds are going to automatically be getting a junk bond status. But, you know, junk bond status, Tom, as you've talked about many times on your show, we've got several universities in Illinois that's already got junk bond status.
Right. Including the Chicago Public Schools at $112 million, and they have to pay the $112 back in this latest loan by December, which leads me to believe they know something is going on, or maybe that was the only deal they could get, and they'll just have to figure out how to make it work.
I would say that was the only card game in town, Tom.
At 6.41% interest. But really my takeaway, David, from you is, they don't go out and sell these bonds that we've already bought at these outrageous rates because the interest rate's just too darn good.
Exactly. I mean, when as an investor, I'd love to get my hands on these things, Tom.
Right.
So much more than what would I be paying. But once again, it's risk versus return. If we're the only state, you know, we're putting the cart in front of the horse, but that's what you do an excellent job is to prepare people. If we become, in less than 24 hours, the first state that gets junk bond status, then what's going to keep it from being the first state to eventually go into default? But keep in mind, a state cannot be declared bankrupt. Now, we can be morally bankrupt, like Illinois has been for years, spending more money than they bring in, and other things with their laws that they pass, and they don't oblige to. And then we have an attorney general that doesn't hold them in check, connect some dots there. But whenever we have these kinds of things, Tom, we are in such unknown territory. The question is if a grand bargain was hit today, how many years would it take for Illinois to heal?
Right.
And those are the things to take a look. But now we're getting into, when we get into interest, I love interest when I get it. But whenever we have compounding, interest is the fiscal cancer. And as far as Illinois versus the body, we're eating up with a fiscal cancer in Illinois.